Women with one of the most difficult to treat forms of breast cancer, so-called triple negative, may have some hope thanks to some laboratory research just published in a prestigious international journal. Triple negative breast cancer is so called because it appears to be independent of the three major hormones driving cancer cell growth. One of the lead authors in this study was Jeff Holst of the Centenary Institute, and he's in our Brisbane studio as we speak. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Norman.
Now, there's a link in the study to nutrition.
Yeah, so we were interested a number of years ago. In fact, back in 2008, we really started to try and get a handle on how nutrition and cancer might be linked. And this was based on some studies by other groups that had shown that whilst Asian or African men get prostate cancer at a fairly low rate, when they migrate to the US, they end up getting prostate cancer at the same rate as the Caucasian American population.
And this is even higher.
For African-American men it is. Yeah, correct. And so this actually applies across multiple different cancers, including breast cancer and colon cancer. And really, you know, it seems sometimes when you look at a map of the world that cancer is more of a Western disease than not. So we thought, well, maybe nutrition is actually involved in this. But the problem with trying to study and understand nutrition is we have such a diverse diet and you know, it's really hard to break that down and try and understand why someone gets cancer and someone else doesn't, when we know that there's also a large genetic component of that. So what we decided to do was to try and have a look at the cancer cells themselves and try and have a look at what they're, in essence, what they're eating, what their diet is, and try and get at it that way. And so to do that, we looked at some nutrients called amino acids. Now, amino acids are they are the building blocks of proteins. So they're present in, you know, all the meats and dairy, and there's been some association of meat and dairy with a number of different cancers. And so that's how we started out looking at this.
And one amino acid jumped out.
Yeah, so from our current research, one of the amino acids that jumped out is actually called glutamine. And so what we've particularly been looking at is the pumps that bring this nutrient into the cell. And what we found is that in the triple negative subset of breast cancer, one of the pumps is particularly increased, and it enables them to bring in more glutamine, and that glutamine is then able to fuel the growth of the cancer cell. And I always kind of liken a cancer cell, you know, it's just a normal cell, but then it's obtained an ability to outgrow all the cells around it. So it's a bit like a teenager. They'll eat you out of house and home. They're also growing a lot during that teenage years. And that's kind of like what a cancer cell is. So what we've found is this pump is increased. And if we can block this pump, we can, in essence, starve the cancer cells.
So is the cancer cell using glutamine a bit like a protein shake, or for actual energy instead of glucose?
Yeah, so, you know, that's, I guess, where the diet link kind of ends, because there's something a little bit different about glutamine than some of the other nutrients and amino acids we've been looking at, and that is that our body can make its own glutamine. So it's actually not necessarily due to diet.
So it's not what they call an essential amino acid.
That's correct. But in cancer cells, it becomes what we call in the lab conditionally essential, in that the cancer cells seem to have developed a way of utilizing glutamine to enable them to outgrow the normal cells. And this kind of goes back to a Nobel Prize-winning discovery by Otto Warburg back in the early 1900s, in which he found that cancer cells utilize glucose differently. And we think that it's part of that way that cancer cells' metabolism is set up, where they utilize glucose in an inefficient way and replace that with glutamine.
That's hard work for a cell.
It is, and yet what that enables it to do, we think, is to get nutrients in a different way to the other cells and kind of outcompete the normal cells around them, because the normal cells don't really care much for glutamine, and so therefore there's an abundance there for them.
So they've got a competitive advantage. So you found this in triple negative breast cancer, but not other forms of breast cancer?
Yeah, so we only really looked at two of the forms, one the estrogen receptor positive form and the other the triple negative form.
And we should just explain here that it's thought that the estrogen receptor, so you've got these lock and key mechanisms in the outside of cells for hormones or chemical messengers to lock into to give signals to the cell. And in the case of triple negative, there aren't any lock and key mechanisms on the cell, but this estrogen one is thought that in this case, estrogen is the driver for cell growth. rather than other chemical messengers.
Yeah, that's right. And so we found one of the other nutrients called leucine is important in the estrogen receptor positive cells. But, you know, there's already some good therapies out there, such as ones targeting the estrogen receptor, tamoxifen. So it was actually kind of good news for us in some ways that the triple negative, which lacks the targeted therapies, as you said, you know, it lacks estrogen receptor, progesterone receptor, and the HER2 receptor. And of course, Herceptin is one of the drugs that's now used as a targeted therapy in HER2 positive, and I've already mentioned tamoxifen, but the triple negative do lack those targetable receptors. And so in a way, what we hope is that this glutamine pump could be one of those targeted therapies in the triple negative space where, you know, patients really are undergoing surgery, radiotherapy and chemotherapy without these targeted options.
And are there other tumours in the body which have a similar appetite for glutamine?
Yeah, so over the last couple of years, in fact, earlier this year, we showed that prostate cancer cells really do require glutamine as well. And this same pump is increased in prostate cancer cells, both androgen-dependent and independent, which it means just in the same way you've got the estrogen receptor positive, you've got androgen receptor positive and negative, so in all of the different types of prostate cancer we know. And then also melanoma cells have the same pump increased and also rely on glutamine.
And is this, in breast cancer, is this a genetic phenomenon or an evolutionary phenomenon, do you think?
Yeah, well, what we know about cancer cells in general is they find ways to outcompete normal cells. So we haven't found, for example, a mutation like what causes many different cancers. But what we've found is that the cancer cells seem to hijack the developmental pathways, which are these hormone pathways and these growth factor pathways, and in a way use them then for their advantage. So a lot of these nutrient pumps are increased during various developmental stages in order to fuel that rapid growth as, you know, as I said, during the teenage years or, you know, if you've got a newborn, they really do grow very rapidly. And that's part of these developmental pathways, which are then reactivated or increased in their activation during cancer.
So in these studies, which I think were both in the test tube and in the petri dish and in animals, did you find a way of blocking glutamine uptake by these cells?
Yeah, so at the moment everything has been done using means within the lab, and that isn't really amenable to therapy. But we're actually in the lab as well, which is not published data, but we are working on some new drugs to be able to target these, and we're hoping to get some funding to take that forward in the hope that in sort of 2 to 3 years' time we could have some molecules that can target this, and then we can go forward and test them in patients. This is how things all work for us. As a basic researcher, we find the potential target, and we think we've got a really good one now. We've got a new potential therapy, but we need to do all of the proper testing in the lab and different animal models before we can then test it in patients, hopefully in the nearer term.
Very sober and considerate of you, Jeff. But did you manage to block it in the lab, by whatever means?
Yeah.
And what happened when you did?
Yeah. So within the lab, we've been able to use various different drugs to block this transporter, this pump. And when we do that, the cancer cells both stop growing and also die. And so therefore, you know, we've been certainly able to in the lab and in animal models to basically starve the cancer cells to death.
Jeff, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries.
Jeff Holst is head of the Origins of Cancer program at the Centenary Institute at the University of Sydney.